Before we get started, we're going to be saying wake words for Amazon smart speaker a lot in this episode. So if you have that kind of smart speaker, you'll probably want to press its mute button.
Joshua?
Yeah?
While you were working on your kids episode, I began to get curious about people on the other end of the age spectrum. You know, elders.
Yeah.
So naturally, I went to pickleball practice.
I love pickleball. It's got everything I like about tennis, but with less running around.
Oh, good. You have seen it. It's one of the fastest growing sports in the country.
But why did you go to pickleball to find your old people?
Well, the players are old-ish. Pickleball is easy on the knees. I went up to a gym near my house, and I asked whether any of them were using Alexa.
I really enjoy Alexa. I'm talking to her in the morning. What's happening on the BBC News? What's on NPR News? And what's the question of the day? And that's pretty much how I use it.
So, but Alexa's not very smart. For me, it's not a great invention as far as I'm concerned.
That guy's name is Norm. When I asked him why he didn't think Alexa was very smart, he said,
she answers my television more than she answers me. You know, when the television's on, she'll answer a question.
You don't even have to be old-ish to get irritated about that.
From KUOW in Seattle, this is Primed, a podcast about how Amazon is changing life as we know it. I'm Carolyn Adolph.
And I'm Joshua McNichols.
The smart speaker is bringing the Internet of Things into our homes at such an interesting time. We have an age boom going on. Half the people who are age 65 right now are likely to live beyond 85. By 85, many people are dealing with a disability or a chronic condition. So I wondered, could smart speakers and other IoT technologies help people face some of the challenges of old age? Can Alexa improve quality of life for older people? First up, we'll take a look at seniors and smart speakers. Joshua, you know how there are lots of things parents and adult kids can never agree on?
Yeah. With my parents, it's about religion.
In my family, too, it's the same thing. We agree to disagree about that. But there is something adult children and their parents can agree on, and that's that independence is a good thing, not just for physical health, but emotional health as well. How that happens, though, is a minefield of disagreement. There's this Amazon ad with a grandpa and his grandson.
Look, Grandpa, I got you the Echo Show. You can ask it to play music or check the weather.
At first, the grandpa does not seem impressed. But then, when his grandson leaves for the day...
Alexa, play the song that goes Valerie.
As much as Amazon wants us to believe that warming up to an Echo is as simple as one catchy song, reality tells a different story.
Echo.
It's really easy.
Play Glenn Miller's In the Mood.
In the Mood by Glenn Miller's Orchestra.
Okay.
It's a newer piece of technology helping senior citizens keep their independence.
Alexis.
Alexa.
Alexa.
I don't know if it's lazy or old age or just what it is. It's convenient.
Ask me a question.
Ask the question.
I'm not sure what you meant by that question.
Alaska.
English speaking, yes.
English speaking.
Which city in Alaska?
Alaska.
Try again.
No, I'm not doing it.
Anyway, thanks for coming down.
Well, you're welcome.
I talked to Janice Takashima. She's in her 70s, and she told me she has mixed feelings. She would rather her children not bring her an Alexa, but she understands why they might want to.
Or maybe there's two sides of this. Maybe they want to feel like they're doing as much as they can. Particularly my grandson, who is a teenager. This is a way that I could relate to him.
Janice has seen the Amazon ad, and she gets it. The technology is a great way to connect, especially as younger generations continue to latch on to new technologies like Alexa.
even though he was sitting there in the living room with his newspaper, as soon as he saw his grandson coming, he connected Alexa with the song that he knew his grandson liked.
But Janice is like many seniors. For her, the idea of having a smart assistant like Alexa just isn't attractive.
Personally, I don't think I would want to have Alexa. I'm not that far gone. I just would consider it to be intrusive. Yeah.
And it's not just that she doesn't see herself as old enough for one. She says she's at an age when if you don't use it, you can lose it.
The less I get up, the less I'm able to get up. So for me now, having a device like this that would answer the door or get something or figure out a problem, those are things that I would like to be able to do myself to keep myself conditioned mentally and physically.
I get that. One of my first jobs was as a waiter in the dining hall at a retirement home. And I remember one woman who struggled with her walker to reach her particular table every day rather than taking her food in her room, which was a service that we offered. She didn't want that kind of help.
But sometimes people do need help, and families have to intervene because otherwise people may fall, or they send some scammer their money thinking it's their nephew, or they drive their car off the road. Families want to step in before anyone gets hurt, right?
And then that sometimes leads to some tough conversations and some big decisions to make.
A lot of older people don't like their options at that point.
Hello?
Hi.
Ah, it's Carolyn and Alec.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Hillary. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Nice
great to meet you.
I talked to Hillary Thompson about this. She's a professor at the University of Washington's nursing school.
Individuals will tell you they want to remain in their home of their choice. They don't want to move. They don't want to go into assisted living or a skilled nursing facility.
And I don't blame them, because in those kinds of places, you're just surrounded by other seniors, no young people, except high school-aged waiters like me who they accuse of watering down the soup.
Thompson has been working on ways to help people avoid that fate. She said this question of how to keep an aging person at home is getting more and more fraught because we are living longer.
Healthy aging and longevity are not, they're not the same thing at all.
But the question is what to do about it.
Yes. Thompson wanted to find out if any of the new technologies coming available could help change that equation, whether it could help seniors stay safe and happy, keep them more independent and out of a nursing home or assisted living. Her research partner, Yong Choi, said he had a feeling a smart speaker could do it.
I wanted to test the smart speaker because it really is coming up as a more of a central gateway of Internet of Things devices. It's really becoming a central hub for a user to easily control using their voice.
Choi and Thompson got a group of seniors together and asked them to choose among four different technologies to try at home. One of them was an Echo, and as Choi and Thompson found out, they really got into it.
Well, I don't want this to sound insensitive, but, you know, most of the seniors in my life love getting free stuff.
Hey, I like getting free stuff.
But was it useful?
Well, it was fascinating. It was actually a participant who did not choose an Echo who realized something about that.
When she was making that transfer from the wheelchair to the tub, she fell. And so she had to try to crawl herself out and try to find her cell phone. And it was a miserable experience for her. But she brought up at the exit interview that she would really have benefited from smart speaker if it were able to like call like emergency contacts registered in the system to be able to reach for help.
I cannot think of a lonelier experience than lying there on the floor waiting for help. But what about the people who did pick an Echo?
Well, they started out the usual way, with asking Alexa about the weather, but they graduated fast. They asked Alexa to do more and more things, and soon they even wanted Alexa to do things it can't do yet, but things that they believed would be essential. Hillary Thompson says, for example, if
they were having to monitor their home blood pressure on a regular basis, or if they were actually having to, maybe they had congestive heart failure and they were having to check their weight every day, that there's some way that it would actually integrate and follow and track their health information and load that into their personal health record and share it with their provider.
So it sounds like the study shows older people not only being willing to try Alexa, but wanting to wire it into their lives pretty deeply.
Yes, this is very far away from Alexa, tell me a joke. But it's not so surprising. As people age, the stakes get higher and higher. The older people in the experiment started to see a smart speaker might be able to keep them independent longer if it allowed them to summon help when they needed it or prevented them from falling ill.
But what happens if you've already gotten to that point where you or your family thinks that you need to move?
I wondered that too. Can a smart speaker do any good at that point? Then I met a woman who showed me the answer. That's coming up next. I want to introduce you to this woman I met recently. Mei Liu is a retired neuroscientist. She's 90.
I've been very healthy, excellent health, all my life up till 5 years ago when I lost my eyesight in one eye due to complications from eye surgery.
Life went on. She still had a working eye, even if it did have glaucoma. She could still do things like cook and play the piano, which she loved.
And then last Thanksgiving, my doctor gave me a new drug to try for glaucoma. I had two doses. On the third day, I could not see.
It was an allergic reaction.
So I could not see, I could not read, I could not see people's face. It's totally crushed. How am I going to live like this? So the option is going to nursing home, which I hated.
That option seemed to be her only one. Mei Liu figured she'd collect on her long-term care insurance and move into a care facility.
But they would not pay for a totally blind person. They ask you three questions. Can you feed yourself? Can you go to the bathroom by yourself? Can you bathe yourself? My answer to all these questions is yes. No, you are out.
What a frustrating experience.
Yes, and Mei Liu told me it felt like there was no way to go on. Do you happen to know this music?
Yeah, that's Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, right?
It is.
My dad used to play that piece over and over on the piano. I used to lay underneath his baby grand and just soak up the vibrations.
Before Mei Liu went blind, she was just like that. She taught herself to play it, loved it that much. Ludwig van Beethoven was going deaf when he wrote this. By the time he finished it, he was mostly deaf.
Yes, I know that story.
Mei Liu spent a lot of time listening to Moonlight Sonata after she lost most of her eyesight.
So one day I was sitting there at the piano, looking at the notes I could not see, feeling very depressed. I could not play that anymore. I wish I had recorded that. I played pretty well that piece, okay? Now I can. I just feel very, very sad. Then I thought, gee, if Beethoven was deaf and he could still compose this masterpiece, at least I can learn how to live. Even with my, disability. So that has become my inspiration. It's Beethoven.
You know what's amazing about this, Carolyn? Beethoven found a technical workaround for his deafness. Have you heard this part before?
No.
He held a rod in his teeth that touched the piano, and he was able to hear the piano through the vibrations in his jawbone.
I did not know that. Makes sense. And you know what? Now that I think about it, essentially, May Lou was looking for a workaround too. She resolved to find a way to live well without her sight. And around that time, her daughter brought over the family's echo.
I thought, this is a silly thing. It's just a toy.
So she was skeptical, but I assume she tried it.
Yes. She discovered some really practical applications. Like, her blindness has changed her sleeping. She wakes up and she doesn't know if it's time to get up.
So I ask, Echo, what's the time?
It's 3:13 p.m.
Being blind also made taking her medications tricky.
I take three kinds of medicine, 5 minutes apart. It'd be very hard for me to try to look at the watch and time it. So after I put the first one, I waited what I think is 5 minutes, and then I ask him, what time is it?
There is an easier way to do that. I mean, she could just tell the Echo to set a timer.
I did mention that to May, but I really wish I hadn't.
Gee, you taught me something.
Her way really still worked, and she was so into it.
Oh, yeah. Every day I find something new.
Joshua, she's getting Alexa to check her math.
2 times 426.
Alexa's telling her lame jokes, telling her the news and the stock market.
Gee, it's zero today. Nothing is moving, huh?
So she's keeping tabs on the stock market, and Alexa's taking care of the practical stuff in her life. But what about her mind?
This is so interesting. May Lou says she's listening to audiobooks and exploring the world through her Echo.
You have to find challenges every day. And they actually said you should learn something on the internet every day. It's much better than puzzle. The Chinese like play mahjong. That's a way of using your brain. And here they like to use puzzle, you know. Yes. I think trying to figure out something every day, and I think that's what keeps my mind, you know, from deteriorating.
My grandmother-in-law also did a ton of those brain exercises.
Yeah, but what May Lou's doing is bigger than that. She told me she's also using her Echo to do a better job at keeping her own company.
So I'm so busy. I entertain myself. I don't want to go to a senior center to mix with a group of people that we have no common interest, no common language. You see? It all depends on your person. So what I'm saying is that old people don't always have to depend on other people to entertain you. You should find ways to entertain yourself. Now in my old age, I have a first book. I'll give you a copy.
I'd like it.
Oh, she wrote a book?
Yes, she wrote a book. And she's revising it now. She's adding new chapters.
So she sounds perfectly happy and productive now. But isn't this also isolating her in some way? I mean, she doesn't want to involve her grown kids. She doesn't want to burden them. My family's experienced this. That fear can keep people from asking for help when they really need it. And so I just want to be careful about technologies that make it easier for our aging parents to just disappear.
I don't think May is using the Echo to disappear. She talked about how having her Echo means that if she falls in the middle of the night, she can call out and someone from her family can come over to help her. She's tested this with both of her Echos.
If I yell loud enough, they'll hear it. I can call Deborah. I can call Julie. Anybody that's on my iPad contact list, I'll show you. I can say, Echo, call May.
Calling May's home.
Another thing she's doing with her iPad is bringing back the music that she loves. I watched her tap the screen and her favorite version of Moonlight Sonata poured out of the Echo. We sat together and listened to it to the very end.
But you will never figure out that he was under such emotional turmoil when he composed the music. it's tranquility, it's calmness. I have a feeling of a sadness and acceptance, especially toward the end, just slowly, slowly, slowly. Yeah, faded away.
So she started thinking that the echo was a silly toy, and now she credits it with bringing her to this place of emotional peace. But I do want to be realistic here. Sure, if you're blind, voice control can be a great thing, but if you're deaf, it might not work so well.
True.
And then there's people with dementia. If you're having trouble distinguishing between what's real and not real, then Alexa could make things weirder.
It's interesting, though. Some people with early stages of dementia say they like asking Alexa questions that would frustrate their caregivers, like, what time is it? And some people with Alzheimer's have used it to prompt them with info about family members to help them remember facts like birthdays or where they live, the names of their children, stuff like that.
There might be a time when that's useful. And there also may be a time when it no longer works, like when you can't remember the wake word anymore.
Right. That would be a cutoff point. But I don't want us to forget what Mei Liu's story shows us. She's discovered that the smart speaker has given her a way forward, a way to be the best version of herself despite losing most of her sight.
This thing really had saved my life.
To me, that's amazing. She's saying we can use the technology at any age to be more ourselves. We'll be back in a bit. We've been asking whether the smart speaker can help seniors live more independent lives. And we've met Mei Liu, who discovered the smart speaker after she lost her sight and found that it helped her. Mei didn't want to hang out at the senior center. She told us the smart speaker allowed her to keep her own company. But many people are social. They gravitate to places like senior communities, places where they can play pickleball and bridge whenever they want. So I wondered how technology might work in that setting. If staying at home is no longer the goal, could it still improve quality of life for seniors? Well, it turns out there's this retirement community called Front Porch in Carlsbad, north of San Diego. Management of that community has been trying out all kinds of technologies with the residents, including smart speakers. They even have a chief innovation officer. Kari Olson is the one who has that job, and she says the smart speaker took off big time. Residents were so enthusiastic about smart speakers, they started their own meetup group called the Alexa Club. It's a place where seniors could come together and say,
"Hey, she did this for me today. Wouldn't this be cool if she could do it for you?" Or for them to dream together about what they would like more of or how it could be different.
Yeah, and they could help each other set up their accounts and give Alexa permission to access those accounts, all that technical stuff that takes so much time.
And then the residents expanded the club by offering potential members a free Alexa. And then when those people became members, they would pay it forward by buying Alexas for other new members.
And this became a phenomenon. The residents were going out when Alexa went on sale on the internet, buying Alexa in bulk so that they would have a stash to add to their Pay It Forward program.
So interesting. You were looking into quality of life, and here's an example. Like, this is about uniting people around a common interest. It's like a brand new hobby.
Right. I wouldn't have guessed that it would be the smart speaker that would take off. I would have thought in a setting like a retirement community or an assisted living facility, they would be more inclined toward technology that could do physical things for people, like lift things, things that robots can do that smart speakers can't. I don't know about you, Joshua, but I have always thought it would be cool to have a robot butler. This is what I've been waiting for.
I've been waiting for a robot that can pick dandelions and feed them to my chickens.
So special. But Kari Olson said even in a prosperous retirement community, the robots did not catch on. They were not so interesting. They were clunky. They were expensive. And I learned there's another major problem with the fantasy I have of the helper robot.
That'd be exciting. So we were walking down this endlessly long hall to a lab. Tell us about the lab.
When I went to Hillary Thompson's lab at the University of Washington, she introduced me to a little robot called Jibo.
That's Jibo, the dead social. He does have some things that he'll do, so still.
It sits on a desk and is meant to be a cheerful companion, though not a full-on butler.
I know about Jibo.
Oh, yeah? Well, you can imagine. Like, I walk in a room and it swivels around to look at us. I love it! But Hillary Thompson said, don't get attached. It's defunct. The company that made Jibo killed it.
But he's not supported anymore, which is, like, the problem with technology.
Just like that, Jibo went from leading personal yoga classes to goodbye speech.
So, I'll play this for you. It's very sad.
I want to say I've really enjoyed our time together. Thank you very, very much for having me around. Maybe someday, when robots are way more advanced than today, and everyone has them in their homes, you can tell yours that I said hello. I wonder if they'll be able to do this.
What is that?
Well, it's actually doing a little robot dance without having any legs or hips.
Okay, so Jibo is history. So does that mean that the smart speaker is the clear winner?
I don't think Kari Olson from Front Porch would say that. She points out that there are obstacles to using a smart speaker in senior communities.
Right, you need to have internet or broadband. In many cases, you need a smartphone or a computer. And then there's always, you know, that day where you really need it to connect to someone else. So doing it in isolation is really not the answer. It's using it as a tool to connect to a larger group of people that you care about.
Olson also said Alexa's still too primitive.
I think we've got to move from using it as a novelty device to a true platform for engagement. It has to be seamless, not opening a bunch of different skills, having to remember the words to invoke it. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done. We're really in the early days of this.
So she's saying that the smart speaker is still a novelty device.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it brought these retirees together. It helped them meet new people, you know, because it's fun to experiment with and it's fun to talk about. But it sounds like for many seniors, using Alexa to communicate just substitutes a new set of barriers for the old ones. Now they have to master Alexa's kludgy syntax and set up accounts and sync them with Alexa and troubleshoot technical problems.
Right. And in exchange, they potentially get dependence on an AI for tasks that maybe they should still be working on. You know, use it or lose it. That is a risk. But Mei Lu's story seems transformational. Her disability was creating obstacles for her.
Yeah, and the smart speaker helped her overcome those barriers because, you know, of course, voice control is going to be a game changer for a blind person. And she wasn't relying on the smart speaker to build her community. But in the case of the retirement center, Alexa isn't bringing them together because the technology is inherently community building. It's bringing them together by introducing a strange new obstacle that they can enjoy overcoming together. Maybe it'll spark some interesting conversations. The choice to reach out to each other, like, they get credit for that, not the technology.
That's actually a really important point.
Older people reach out to us all the time, and sometimes they do it by showing openness to technology, you know, the stuff the young folks are using. And this reminds me that, like, we still have to choose to be there when they reach out, right?
Mm.
And we need to reach out to them, too. So I guess if my grandmother calls, asking if I can help her set up her smart speaker, I'd better call her back. And I do need to call my grandmother, just to say hi. Next time on Primed, we're taking you to Amazon's secret testing lab to see how smart your home can really be.
Primed is a production of KUOW Public Radio. It's hosted by me, Carolyn Adolph.
And me, Joshua McNichols. Our producer is Alec Cowan. Our editor is Carol Smith. Our executives are Jill Jackson and Brendan Sweeney.
Music this week by Raymond Scott and Alec Cowan. You can find links on our website.
This is our third season of Primed, and we want people to know about it. So we're asking you to help get the word out by writing reviews, telling friends. It would mean a lot to us.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.